Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Arcane Library. Great to be back with you guys today. It's been a little bit since I posted something up, but I'm back at it. I'm here with Dee Burnett.
Hello.
And today we were thinking about talking about the concept of the realms of imagination and how powerful imagination can be. There is what I've seen throughout the world. Thousands, hundreds, so many, too many to count, of thought forms of people, realms that they see within pictures they draw, to imaginations that they can just come up with any daily talk, to even movies that are created. But one thing I find similar between all these things are what it looks like. These people all create and imagine these vast, amazing things. And then when they look at it later and they find it somewhere else, they're like, oh, wow, I just thought of this the other day. And that's the realm of imagination. We create an entire world all around us constantly in our heads, in our minds. I feel like we travel to it when we sleep. We travel to it when we just merely close our eyes.
Man, not even, honestly. Daydreaming.
Yeah. You can catch someone staring completely at a wall with a blank face, with their eyes wide open. You can sit there and say their name. Hey, Dion. Hello? And they'll finally come back like, oh, what's up? And then what happened? It's like, I don't know.
I don't even remember.
They were just in their realm of imagination. With their eyes wide open.
Yeah, and I think that one realm is just each person's individual one creating thousands and therefore creating infinity of just realms. I believe if we're talking about a realm that we have within, if we're talking about just a realm we have within, we created entirely, if you want to think about it this way, we are the god of that realm, because it is from our brain and mind, it is from our imagination. Although you can absolutely find something that relates to your realm, there are still so many differences that make that person's realm theirs and yours. Again, an infinity, just with those two, it's just an infinity of, if you talk about it, bouncing ideas off of each other. Well, I imagine this. I imagine that. Oh, you imagine this. That makes me imagine that. That just creates more infinity right there. There's not one set realm or even a realm with names, I'm sure. Of course, there are realms with names. But those are more realms that were created by outer forces, I believe.
Yeah, like, look at Jim Henson.
Oh, my God.
That guy's realm is one of the most beautiful realms I have ever seen in my life.
My goodness.
And it all coincided. He has created his own history, his own beings, his own everything. Like, say you got the Mystics and the Skeksis. You got light and darkness. He has created his own realm with his own being of light. And his own beings of darkness. He has created Earth. He has created his own form of energy there. That when you watch his movies, you feel it.
You are there.
You are literally there. You close your eyes and you can imagine it. With the music playing that he has created, you can imagine his realm. Feel the beauty, the love, the enjoyment of what he imagined.
And here's why I think whether it be animation or live action, is the ultimate way of showing and creating realms physically for people to join in on and experience and be a part of. Because in movies, you have acting. In movies, you have music. In movies, you have this beautiful art. You pretty much have every basic element of creation all put into one. Because you can listen to a song, you know, but it's just like this right here. I have NWA, but what does it just say? It just says NWA with black behind it. But you put on the song and you imagine it. without a TV in front of you, right?
But
what happens when you got the music video on? Shit, you're in fucking LA. You're in fucking Compton.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that right there is filming an actual place. You know, the realm is more cerebral at that point if you're filming, like, a place that wasn't set up like Jim Henson's entire realm that he had to film, you know? He created that place, he went there, and he brought it out of his head. I mean, it's... I have so many points to say, but just... I'm happy you brought up Jim Henson, of all people, because... he is mastery. He is absolute mastery. And I just cannot believe what I've seen through my... I can't believe that I haven't... been watching his movies since I was a child like you have. And like thousands of people have, because... I vibe with his realm, first of all. I connect with it very well, easily, very nicely, especially the Dark Crystal. Well, I'm talking about Labyrinth a lot, honestly.
Oh yeah, I connect with Labyrinth on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
That boy...
Not Dark Crystal, like,
Jim Henson has, in Labyrinth, to me, portrayed a dark part of the Fairy Kingdom to a point where it is so real feeling to me.
Yeah.
But it is his... That's the way he imagined it. And he is almost spot on with other people's versions of imaginations of that realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, another man that I believe has created his own realm, H.P. Lovecraft. He's the man who created Cthulhu.
Yeah.
That great chaotic being that is hidden in the world, and everybody knows of Cthulhu. Everybody refers to Cthulhu in some way, shape, or form. And he was created by an author. Imagined. But through that creation, created a entire book, an entire religion, an entire everything.
His imagination was the catalyst to full-on creation of Cthulhu.
Yeah. And it's... even though it is a darker being, it is an amazing concept that that guy was able to create. How, and I believe you can also bring people into your realm of imagination easily by just mere guided meditation.
Exactly what I was kind of going to say, because you told me something years ago. Olympus. How did they get there? Olympus is a fucking place in the sky that you can't see because it's on what? Excuse me. A different realm. Or... a different fucking frequency, whatever you want to call it. But how do they meet there? They match their frequency. Guided meditation is one thing. There are just infinite ways.
Yeah.
And there are better ways than more. That's why we keep on saying some of the same things, because these are the best forms of getting to what we're talking about.
See, and my brain just thought of something. very interesting. That our voice, and this is just what I just came up with, our voice is that way, that frequency coming out of our voice, and each of our voices emits an entirely different frequency. We'll hear it differently than the person creating the voice as the person receiving the voice. They hear it entirely different. Just like if you were to throw on a beat, they'll hear the beat entirely different than the way we hear the beat.
True. You
and the way of guided meditation is using your voice to match their frequencies to you, to guide them to your realm of imagination.
And if you're not understanding frequencies necessarily, I'm going to try to put it as simply as possible. The brain is is the top part of the satellite that we are, of the satellite tower, if you will, that we are. It is the top signal sender and receiver, right? Our brain is organic. Our brain is made up of the same parts that our body is made up of. Therefore, we can signal through any part of our body. An aura is our general signal. You know, it's
that wavelength.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to put things simply. You know, so an aura, you see the color. I'm glad you said wavelength. That color is just waves of vibration, signals. It's an infrared signal, in a sense. that gives off a certain color depending from person to person what type of signal they're born with and have and are able to send off. Now, trying to stay on track, that's what we're saying when you match frequencies. We are very much radios, and we have to tune ourselves. We're biological radios and computers and all this shit. We have to tune ourselves if we want to match another person, if you're consciously thinking about meditation. Unconsciously, say you're out at a party and you feel like you're shaky, man. You feel like you're just like chaotic waters. It's because you are not on that vibe, or there are just tons of people who are just not like feeling good, you know, not feeling the party, and you walk in on that and you're like, man.
Yeah, it's when your frequency is not matching to theirs.
Right, like, man, this party's bunk. Or not even that, you walk in and you have anxiety like me, man. I'm a wallflower. You know what I'm saying? I can get out and party, but a lot of times I can't handle that many waves coming at me at once because so many people are thinking so many different things, all bad and good. And it's just nothing but waves. You know? That's why I'm trying to simplify it as much as I can.
Yeah, and all it takes is, like, if you want to match your waves with other people, just hang around them. Build that connection. Because with natural connection and collecting of a group of people, your waves are inevitably going to match. Just like the saying, you become who you are around.
And that's why you want to be around good people.
Yeah, you got to be around positive people, because when your waves, when your energy and that frequency starts matching theirs, when it starts all hitting on the same wavelength, either you will evolve to them or devolve into a more lower frequency mind state. And it's all up to you. You can either heighten your wavelength of your entire group, or you can lower it. Mm-hmm. Just from your emotions, just from your thoughts. It's fantastic the way everybody can influence each other, but it's also so volatile to me because the world right now is chaotic.
The world is volatile.
It is. It's extremely chaotic. People's mind states are not 110% positive. About a good 60% of the time, for most, is positive. 60 to about a good maybe. Honestly, sometimes I've been noticing it's been getting to a good 40% of it's been positive. You know, people have been having a harder time.
I feel like sometimes it's so up and down that, and I tell you this before, that when I meet up with good people at work and stuff like that, when I greet a customer and they get out of the ride and I'm just so overwhelmed with how nice the ride was, how nice they were, how much fun we were having just fucking talking about either nothing or honestly something like this. I have these kind of conversations with people I meet in the car all the time. But what I'm getting at is just sometimes the world is so negative and people around you aren't even going to be negative, but you watch something on TV, on the news, however, I don't fucking care. You hear about something bad and it just kind of can mess your shit up. You know, it can kind of mess your day up a little bit. But I just, when that happens and I just meet up with someone that is just so happy to just be sitting down in the car right now with some AC, just happy that they got up out of bed this morning, not even thinking about it like that, they fucking leave the car and I'm almost in tears. I'm almost in tears because I'm so overwhelmed with how positive that was, because I'm used to negativity. I'm very used to just piercing right through negativity, yeah. And I didn't
and
have to
do
that.
And it's a sad thought that's how a lot of people are. They are used to the negativity. They're most of the time expecting the negative.
Yes.
They really are. And the world is expecting something negative to happen. And instead of working towards creating a positive.
It's not like we can't do it. It's not like you got to take these big, big, big ass steps. And it's a lesson we're still learning. It's just in the tiny, itty bitty things you do to the tiny, itty bitty people you meet to even bigger things every day.
Yeah.
And again, it's a lesson both Eli and I are still trying to teach ourselves.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because you can only teach yourself.
Oh, yeah. I say these things because these are the things that go on in my life day to day.
Yeah.
These are the things I've noticed as well. Have to go through constantly. You know, I constantly battle the expecting the negative. Oh God, it's a warfare.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it is warfare.
I
because just my life has been a hard route, but I fight it. I try to expect the positive. I try to work towards the positive. That is why I create a lot of the things that I do. Why I talk to the people that I talk to nowadays. Because it is, it's what I want to see in life. I want to see everybody starting to work on positive. And it takes to me working with your realm of imagination. Working with creating a positive imagination to spread that a positive imagination and connect with people and spread that. Heighten your frequencies together so that everybody can start expecting more positive. To not even expecting, because expecting is a almost negative term to me.
I wanted to say something like that, yeah.
But working towards influencing a positive lifestyle so that people will know that when they leave outside, that they will get home safe. You know,
because everyone's just feeling good, man. Why, you ain't got to be looking over your fucking shoulder.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people catch themselves going outside, and they have to say I love you to their family because they feel like they don't know when they're going to see them next.
Some people literally do say that verbally, yeah.
Yeah, they have to. And that is, to me, it's a not negative. It sucks that we have to. Yes, it's great that you want to say I love you every single day because always. You want to be able to come home to them again. But the expecting of if something bad happens today, if something negative happens today, I want them to know I love them. Not just, I love you. I will see you soon.
Yeah. You know how rarely I say bye to you?
Yeah.
I don't really say bye.
Yeah, I kind of am just like, all right, out the door. You know?
Yeah. See ya.
Because I know I'm going to come home.
Yeah.
That's just something that and I do catch myself even also having to say, hey, I'll see you later. Or, bye, love you. Just because in my heart I'm like, because I've been through some shit.
Yeah, now even getting older, it's just like we understand it more seriously, but not so intense. I don't want to use seriously as an intense word. Like my parents, for a good second there, you know, some teen angst happened, if you want to call it that. And, you know, I wasn't saying I love you to my parents. I even got my dad to the point where he said he didn't want to be my pops anymore. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I put my mom through the same thing.
That was me. I did that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it took a couple years. We started getting better. You know, some stuff even happened when I was an adult. I probably was 21. I was 20, man. I took my broke-ass car that overheated halfway to my mom's office, and I almost overheated myself because I was so pissed off at her. Went to her work and everything, man. Like, bad shit. Like, I can't be doing this stuff, man. I could get my mom fired. You know, I really put myself and my parents through the shit, but now that I get older, now that I'm being better to myself, it makes them feel like I'm being better than them, and just... Every time we're getting off the phone and I tell Eli it's awkward saying it to my pops and he like says bye awkwardly too. But it's getting better. But every time, both my parents now I say I love you. And I feel like I can mean it. Cause that's also a point I do want to make, that a part of me felt like I couldn't say that. You know, other than being fucking so fucking mad at the goddamn world, there's also a part of me that felt like I didn't love them. There's a part of me that felt like I was gonna kick them out of my life. No way. You know what I'm saying? Like, getting older is a big part about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can always teach yourself a lesson that a 40-year-old man will learn, but that experience.
Yeah, a lot of people have to go through it to understand. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I've even put... Mom did the same thing. I got kicked out of home at 17 years old, you know?
Shit.
Because I
got a notification.
Oh, yeah. I just, I've been through just literally almost like my mom fighting me. And I didn't want to fight my mom. I was afraid of my mom. My mom was tiny and scary.
And yeah. I want to put that out there to show people that we may have not known each other, but we do share similarities, is that my mom and I also kind of got a little bit physical, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, but we can't dwell on the past. We got to look at where we're at now because of these experiences. I went to my mom's last night and we were just sitting there on the bed, just joking till almost midnight, just goofing. Goofing off with her coworkers and her friends, you know. And her friends were like sitting there, like, "Why? How can you guys cuss at around each other so fluently?" And she's like, "What do you mean?
We
don't fucking care." Like, me and my mom are both pirates, you know. And no matter how much we get in each other, we used to get in each other's faces, and we used to fight and disagree. We were so alike, and that's what caused disagreement. Because she would tell me how alike to her I am. But I'd sit there like, no, I'm nothing like you. And now we sit there like, Mom, why are we so similar? It's stupid. Like, why do we both have to go through the same thing? Like, I tried to tell you.
My locals way. Yeah, but when do we listen?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's...
And you learn. The whole world learns.
Yeah.
Takes time. Takes time and actually knowing that everything holds knowledge. Every experience holds some type of knowledge for you.
Sometimes you gotta look for it.
Yeah. And it's not gonna be straight in your face right away. You're gonna sit there pissed off about what kind of knowledge you're about to hit just because of some crazy experience.
Yeah, man. Some shit's savage on you.
Yeah.
And I'm talking savage, and some people probably do know.
Yeah.
And understand.
Yeah. There's some type of knowledge, and you have to sit there and grind in your mind to find what lesson that is to learn.
And I have an example that I don't have to use the word savage for, because this came from a person who is so good right now. She said it very fast, but she's talking in there all in my car, all happy and stuff like that. Her life, I don't know if she meant family, friends, or everybody, or a lot of people, but a lot of people died in her life. People were just hurting themselves or getting hurt. There were a lot of things, just murky shit happening that I could just tell from what she was saying around people dying. And she verbally said, "Yo, people died, but I'm good. I'm good now. I got my motorcycle." And I just couldn't believe the way she was talking to me. I've experienced my stepdad dying. So I kind of forgot about that, I suppose. But that was it for me. And this person is talking about for who knows how many people, and it's probably not even gang-related. Like, walking tall and walking happy, man.
To me, that's sometimes the paths that some people walk.
True. But all, the point still being, I don't have much to say. Is she gained knowledge somehow?
Yeah.
That's what I mean by savage.
Yeah, she learned. She learned from all of it and came out better. And she still is going to have a lot more to learn. A lot more.
1-year-old, 1,000-year-old, man.
Yeah. No matter. It doesn't matter. Every day is some type of lesson. Every single day. This entire life is the big lesson. I don't know how or why, but that's how it translates in my head.
Road with lots of science.
it's crazy. And, like, sometimes people are just have to take that harder route. Because these are the lessons they have to learn. And almost everybody takes the hard route. I don't see a lot of...
By decision, too. Yeah. Sometimes by decision, not just... Well, yeah... There's a whole spectrum.
And I've seen people whose families have did the hard route early and were able to bring in these new souls in an easier route. And these are the paths that people have to take. Like, I hope that through the route of my life, that I can bring my future children something simple for them. I want them to live well and not have to go through the nonsense and silly business that I had to go through in my life. Right. My mom did it hard. My mom did it really hard before me, and I was able to do it slightly simpler.
Yeah.
But in different ways.
Feel that?
It's just how it's gonna be. Who knows, my future children, they might not get it as hard as me. They may get it a little difficult, but it'll be simpler for them. And I hope to teach them to make it simpler for their next.
The reason why I think they will probably have something difficult is because they're a different human. Yeah. They're another human, and they're going to make their own choices based upon their own judgment. Yes, after you, but probably by the time they get just a little bit older, you know, so many things.
Yeah.
So.
And that to me is the path to utopia, is training and teaching your to-be children or your children now to make it easier.
Yeah.
To make it better for the next.
And you can definitely do it. You know, some people might be hearing training and teaching, like, oh, what the fuck, they gotta learn from their own experiences. They will.
They will.
But you gotta give them your beautiful, good judgment.
Yeah.
You have to. You gotta give them your however many years that you got under your belt in knowledge to them.
Yeah.
So they can just have that. All we do is repeat to the 3-year-old, like, remember, we don't do that. You know, like, at least I say, remember we talked about that? And, you know, of course she doesn't remember. She's 3! But she's also very smart. You know, the point I'm trying to make is, we're all fucking animals, dude. We all have a sense of being trained in a way. Not brainwashed, okay? Like, taught to be a good human. Taught to be a good dog, taught to be a good cat. You
because
know what I'm saying?
The influences that we are always around are just going to influence us however way. And if you bring your good influence, your good judgment, not in a way train them, but just give them that good judgment. Like, you live a good life, they will see that and duplicate it. They are the clones of you.
Mm-hmm.
At least their shell is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just takes for their soul to learn. To relearn, and relearn in a positive way. Because if they learn from the negative forces that are all around this world, it's just going to bring it down. So be that good judgment. You know, that good influence.
Mm-hmm.
Like even on in a way, on a spiritual end, we always look for a good judgment. Something to train us. Nowadays, everybody's seeking a spirit guide. A companion, their angel, their guide. People are wanting to talk to their guardian angels nowadays. Because they want that good influence. They want to seek that, how do I live a better life? What route should I take? We never wanted to listen to it from our parents or anything.
Oh, yeah. Dad saying you need to pray, son? Like, I was like, what?
We will seek that guidance from another worldly being now, and we'll seek our guidance from our parents, but at first no,
that's a lesson that everyone goes through, man.
Yeah,
no problem. You know,
and I feel like not everybody goes through the rebellious factor, though.
There are some people who are just so timid, and then there are other factor people who are actually smart and listen to their parents, and diddly one and diddly two over here,
nice grip of common sense already. But then there's others that just are hard-skulled.
Hello. Some harder than others. Yeah. But, you know, a hard skull is a hard skull, man.
Yeah. But I think that'll end it here today. Hope you guys have a blessed day. Enjoy yourself. Always know to always work together. Raise your vibration. You don't have to be spiritual to raise your vibration.
No.
Honestly, in a way. All you got to do is think positive. Think positive, because tomorrow is always a better day. May be hard, but it will always be a better day.
imagine, dream big, take your time, and anything can be achievable. We create this world as it created us. Goodbye.